4 hours after his failed suicide attempt, he descended toward Aerodrome Liubliana. A tone sounded, and above his head the seatbelt sign glowed. Beside him, a Swiss businesswoman buckled her belt and gazed out the window at the clear Slovenian sky. All it had taken was one initial rebuff to convince her that the twitching American she'd been seated next to had no interest in conversation. The American closed his eyes, thinking about the morning's failure in Amsterdam. Gunfire, shattering glass and splintered wood, sirens. If suicide is sin, he thought, then what is it to someone who doesn't believe in sin? What is it then? An abomination of nature? Probably, because the one immutable law of nature is to continue existing. Witness, weeds, cockroaches, ants, and pigeons. All of nature's creatures work to a single unified purpose, to stay alive. It's the one indisputable theory of everything. He dwelled on suicide so much over the last months, had examined the act from so many angles, that it had lost its punch. The infinitive clause, to commit suicide, was no more tragic than to eat breakfast or to sit, and the desire to snuff himself was often as strong as his desire to sleep. Sometimes it was a passive urge, drive recklessly without a seatbelt, walk blindly into a busy street, though more frequently these days he was urged to take responsibility for his own death. The bigger voice, his mother would have called it. There's the knife, you know what to do, open the window and try to fly. At 4:30 that morning, while he lay on top of a woman in Amsterdam, pressing her to the floor as her bedroom window exploded from automatic gunfire, the urge had suggested he stand straight and proud and face the hail of bullets like a man. He'd spent the whole week in Holland, watching over a 60-year-old U.S.-supported politician whose comments on immigration had put a contract on her head. The hired assassin, a killer who in certain circles was known only as the Tiger, had that morning made a third attempt on her life. Had he succeeded, he would have derailed that day's Dutch House of Representatives vote on her conservative immigration bill. How the continued existence of one politician, in this case a woman who had made a career of catering to the whims of frightened farmers and bitter racists, played into the hands of his own country was unknown to him. Keeping an empire, Granger liked to tell him, is 10 times more difficult than gaining one. Rationales in his trade didn't matter. Action was its own reason. But covered in glass shards, the woman under him screaming over the crackling sound, like a deep fryer of the window frame splintering, he'd thought, what am I doing here? He even placed a hand flat on the woodchip-covered carpet and began to push himself up again, to face this assassin head-on. Then, in the midst of all that noise, he heard the happy music of his cell phone. He removed his hand from the floor, saw that it was Granger calling, and shouted into it, "What?"